I wonder what you think that it means to be a Christian. What comes to mind when you hear the word Christian? Perhaps you think about somebody who's a really good person, somebody who follows certain rules or a way of life. Maybe you think about somebody who's a churchgoer, somebody who's a Bible reader, somebody who is a prayer. There are so many different ways that Christians are spoken about, and there is some truth in all of those things. And perhaps we need a combination. Our passage today, Peter sets out this vision for Christian living. And I love the way that he describes Christians. The version that I was looking at, it spoke about people who are finished with sin. Other versions talk about people who are done with sin. We become a Christian. We no longer live in the flesh. We're no longer enslaved to our sinful desires. We're being conformed into the image of Christ, making the will of God and not our own desires the rule for our lives and our actions. And as Christians, more and more, we should be people who are finished with sin, trying to get rid of it, not embracing sin, but striving to live lives that are pleasing to God as the Holy Spirit changes us. As Steve was saying, this is Sunday that we have put aside to focus on missions. And when we read verses 1 to 4 of our passage, it's quite easy to think that perhaps missionaries are people who are so finished with sin, it is unbelievable. They have been willing to sacrifice so much and move to a different country. They must be super holy people. Well, that's partly true. As I said before, I've had a few experiences of short-term missions, so I've worked alongside quite a lot of missionaries over the years, but also had the experience of being a missionary myself. And one of the biggest things that I have learned is that when you're a missionary, you're still you. You're still a human being. You still struggle. Those human desires are still there. You still struggle to suffer well. You still struggle to know what God's will is. And when you do know what God's will is, you struggle to follow it. Yes, you have made a step of faith, and you are striving to follow that, but you're not some kind of super Christian. And so our mission partners need our support, the support of a church. They may be in a different location to us, but they have the same struggles that we do. In verse 7 of our passage, we hear that Christians are called to be sober and alert so that they can pray, to love each other, to offer hospitality without grumbling. My mind immediately went back to the desert wanderings and the grumbling that was happening there. Do we offer hospitality but with a little moan as we do it? Or sometimes quite a big moan as we do it? But this is something that as a church we think is really, really important. Supporting our mission partners, our family across the world. And they value our support so, so much. My time in overseas mission has shown me some of the ways that we can understand and help people in those different situations. So I've got four ways that I think that we as MIE and as individual Christians can be supporting people across the world. Four different ways. First of all, I'm going to talk about money. Our mission partners can't do what they are doing without finances. It is that simple. They need regular donations. When I was in Spain, I relied completely on people's financial support. And that regular income was absolutely vital. In fact, I wasn't allowed to go unless I had a commitment for regular income. And that enabled me to pay my rent, to buy food for my travel costs, all of the things that happen month upon month. But I was also really grateful for when people had been praying for me and felt that they were prompted by God to give me a one-off donation. That was also a really important part of things. I was in Spain for 3 months, and a few weeks in, what should happen? I get a tax letter. Inland Revenue contacts me. Yes, you owe us £800. Perfect timing. I had just gone to do voluntary work. Miraculously, people had responded at the same time that this letter was coming to me and gave me one-off donations that covered the full price for that bill that was so unexpected. So we need to make sure that we are supporting our mission partners financially. We do it at MIE as part of our regular giving, but we can also do it personally. If you would like to find out more about who we can be supporting and how you can support them, then do talk to one of the team. Their names will come up a little bit later on. Or you can contact me or many other people in the church. Just talk to somebody and we can point you in the right direction for how you can be supporting people. So that's number one. Number two, we can support our mission partners through relationship. Staying in contact with people is so important. Our passage speaks about this love and this hospitality that we have for each other. And we can show that hospitality and that love even at a distance. The power of a text message or an email or a like on a Facebook comment or a phone call or even a letter. Those things are really, really powerful. Knowing that there is somebody out there thinking about you, especially during those lonely times. And there can be a lot when you're on the mission field. You feel that connection across the world. You're still part of God's family. And that's particularly true if you're the sending church as well. Our more established mission partners will have relationships with the people in their location. And those relationships will sustain them and support them, but there will still be times when they feel homesick. There will still be times when they miss having people around who were born into the same culture as them. I know that some of our home groups support specific partners, and that's an amazing thing to be doing. But I do encourage you to sign up to people's newsletters, perhaps follow them on social media, so that you can be keeping in contact with them. And the third way, perhaps the most obvious way that we can be supporting people, is through prayer. We're not just receiving a newsletter so that we can hear what's going on the other side of the world, because it's an interesting thing to read. But these are our brothers and sisters who need us to pray for them. Knowing that you are held in prayer is the number one most important thing, the most appreciated thing. When you're facing those challenges, knowing that you have got an army of prayer warriors behind you gives you such confidence. And as prayers, we need to be people who are informed to help us to pray better. So when we get those newsletters, not just reading the little bit down the bottom about prayer points or skipping over those bits perhaps, but actually using them to fuel our prayers. Looking on their website. Why not speak to one of the mission team? See if you can get more regular updates or perhaps even join the team. One of the reasons why I'm here today is they've asked me to speak about one of the organizations that at MIE we support. And it is probably one of the least well-known ones. Quite a lot of people said this morning when I was talking about this that they hadn't heard anything about this for several years. And so actually I think this is a really important thing. Some of you were around in 2006. St. John's sent out a group of people. There was seven of us, I believe. And we went to Malawi. We went out for 2 weeks to work with a couple called Mike and Jackie Hammond, who work with SIM. And they had a link to the Evangelical Bible College in Blantyre. And as MIE, we still support that Bible College. Their motto is transforming and equipping people passionate about Jesus Christ to impact the church and the world. So a little bit of information for you. The pictures that are scrolling through are all to do with this church. They were sent to me by Jackie Hammond. They offer courses in Christian education, in Christian ministry, in theology, and they offer a pastor's wives program. They have both certificate and diploma courses, and this year they've also introduced a degree program. And this was in response to the churches themselves voicing a need to have degree qualified leaders, people who really know how to teach the Bible. And the challenge is to see whether this course can be sustainable. Will they have enough people, enough students on the course so that it is able to continue into the future and that they won't be just supporting, relying, that's the word I was looking for, on their mission partners for financial support. The college has just become accredited with the National Council for Higher Education, a government organisation, and it is an amazing thing that's happened. They've got this accreditation, but it's taken a massive amount of work to get to that place. And it's put some real stress on the finances of the college as well, because they've had to put quite a lot of things in place to come up to the standards that are expected. So, for example, they had to pave their car park, they had to upgrade their library and their admin block, and many, many other things as well. But it has been a really good thing as well. And this college started out working with people who were missionaries. But more and more now, they actually have Malawian professionals who are involved in it and are on the council. And that is a real benefit to the community and for the future of the college as well. There are now 3 SIM ministries who teach on the courses, but there are 10 other full-time faculty members from Malawi. This academic year, the numbers have been down a little bit. One of the pictures is to do with one of the graduations from last year. You can see there's quite a lot of people when you see that. They're all wearing blue. But this year there's only about 97, and that has had a real kick on their finances. Most of the students are residential students, and they are from parts of rural Malawi. There is a real need, an urgent need, for well-trained church pastors and leaders in these areas, because there is a lot of bad biblical teaching around still. There are, however, still students who are part-time, who are non-residential, and they are studying alongside their other jobs so that they can have a good theological knowledge and serve better as lay people in their communities and their churches. I've mentioned a few times the finance issue. It is a really big issue for the college. It's heavily dependent still on its 3 mission partners, SIM, Zambezi Mission, and the Brethren in Christ World Mission. But they are trying to do things so that they become more self-reliant, not having to rely on handouts from mission organisations. So last year, for example, they started up a commercial preschool, which is running alongside the existing nursery, trying to raise some income as well as supporting the local community. But it's unlikely that that will raise enough finance to keep them going. A really good thing that happened last year, they managed to obtain a grant and also a loan so that they could sink a borehole. And within 6 months, they will be able to pay off that loan and they will start to see the savings coming in on their water expenditure. So that will have a big impact on the finances. And they are continuing to try and find ways that they can be financing better what they are doing so that they can focus on teaching people about God's word. Because this college, it is having a huge impact on the life in Malawi, on the spiritual life of Malawi, having people in the villages who are able to teach God's word faithfully. There is a student, there's a family that you will see in one of the pictures. His name is Levison Cheesy. He is a student on one of the courses. He's from the north part of Malawi, where there are not very many evangelical churches at all. Prior coming to this particular course, he and his wife were on the Hope for AIDS Christian and Marriage and Family Life Peer Education Program, snappy title, which is run by Mike and Jackie. And it was that course that made them decide that they wanted to go into full-time ministry. So Levison is now in his second year of a two-year course on biblical studies. And he has been joined this year with his wife, whose name is Beauty. How amazing is that? And with their two youngest children. The college at the moment is not able to support children who are above preschool age. And so their eldest child, a nine-year-old, has had to stay in the village with other relatives while they are studying. Beauty is also attending the Wives program as well. One of the things that Levison has had to negotiate is how to learn in a really different way to how he has always been taught. Malawi is very much based on rote learning. Secondary schools are all to do with that kind of thing. And he is now being taught how to be learning, using his initiative and actually really thinking about the things that he is being engaged with. And when he graduates, he will be going back to his rural village and will be able to teach God's word faithfully to that community. So I'm just going to pause just for a moment to take some time to pray for this college. So let's pray. Father God, we bring before you this college in Malawi. We pray for the students in the community. Lord, give them soft hearts so they are willing to learn and to challenge their cultural traditions against biblical teachings. We pray for those who have graduated that they will be faithful shepherds, they will be faithful stewards and servants of your gospel, especially in those rural areas in Malawi that so need your word. We pray for the teaching staff. Lord, make them godly role models and help them as they strive to be teaching your word. May they keep a ministry mindset as they serve this college and invest in the lives of these students. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to be providing them for their financial needs. Show them the opportunities that will help them to support themselves in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the observant amongst you may have noticed that so far I've talked about three different things. I've talked about finances. I've talked about the idea of relationship and staying in contact with people. And the importance of prayer that is informed prayer. So number four, I think a really important way that we can be supporting our mission partners is to be living as missionaries ourselves. Serving here is really important. Missionaries are not some kind of elite Christian, but they are Christians who are serving away from home. Our 1 Peter passage shows the importance of living the life of faith, a faith that is shown practically. We're called to love each other, to pray, to be hospitable to each other. And we should be doing all of these things as a Christian community. As we are maturing in our faith, we are able to do these things more and more. And that is supporting each other. And it is supporting people across the world who are also Christians. It's really easy to look at people who are in ministry or in full-time Christian work of some kind and to see that they are living their lives dedicated to God. Well, we would hope so anyway. But what about those of us who are not in that kind of position? Can we say the same about us? Are we living our lives dedicated to God, all of our lives? Are our lives distinctive as Christians so that non-Christians think it looks strange? Verse 3 in our passage, when people look at a Christian's life, they should be confused. Why would you choose to live your life following God's will? Why would you choose to trust in His faithfulness? Trust somebody who you can't see. Why are you willing to make that sacrifice? Why would you do something that is such an unpopular choice? People are noticing our lives, whether we realize it or not. And they should be seeing God's Spirit working within us. Now, of course, none of us are perfect. Not yet. But we should be allowing the Spirit to be changing us, frequently praying that the Spirit will be transforming us into the likeness of Christ. God doesn't call us to be successful people. He calls us to be faithful people. So when our desires and our dreams are governed by God's word, and our interests and our life's choices are submitted to Him regularly, then this will be showing in our words and in our actions. I was at a course yesterday, and the guy talked about living a life that is percolated by your faith. And perhaps on this Mission Sunday, one of the most obvious ways that we can be doing that is to be using our gifts to glorify God. Whether our gifts are extraordinary, impressive gifts, or just really quite ordinary and mundane, we can use them to serve God and His church. Don't deny who God has created you to be. He has given you gifts. And we can see ourselves as servants of His grace, owning our gifts, not in an arrogant way, but humbly, seeking to use those gifts that have been entrusted to us for the purpose of giving back to God. We have all been given gifts. In fact, we've been given a unique combination of gifts that can be used for God's glory. They can be used to support each other within the church, and they can be used to be reaching out to Christians. And those two things are very important. So we need to be praying that God is showing us how we can be employing our gifts so that both Christians and non-Christians are being served by them. Verse 10 in our passage says this: each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So part of that calling is to be showing other people the gospel. Our passage very clearly shows that people will have to give an account to God, to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And people who don't know God are in a really dangerous position. God is ready to bring judgment. And for all who refuse to accept His free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, things will not end well. Now, if you are somebody who has not accepted that free gift today, then I encourage you to seek, to find out more, to speak to somebody today, perhaps come along to one of our Alpha courses or a similar kind of thing. Test out, find whether there is any truth in this passage that Peter is talking about. And for those of you who have been saved today, saved by nothing more than faith in Jesus Christ, it is our calling to share that message with those around us. On the Bible College's Facebook page, there was a quote from a visiting speaker, and this is quite hard to hear, I think. He said, "The devil is working overtime, and Christians are sleeping, not even ready to work part-time." Now, we don't want to hear those words. They're not nice things to be thinking about, because it is hard to share our faith. But we are all missionaries from the moment that we become a Christian. And we need to make sure that we are not falling asleep. It's our duty to be speaking to one another about the Word of God. To the best of our abilities, to be keeping close to that Word of God. To be honouring Him in all that we do. To be serving both Christians and non-Christians that are put into our path. And it may be in tiny ways or it may be in huge ways, but we are giving ourselves to Him for His glory. It's so easy to stumble through life, just living day by day, not even realizing what is going on. And we lose so many opportunities. Instead, this passage is calling us to be people who are alert and sober. Through prayer, through reading the Bible, through perhaps joining us, reading through the Bible in a year, being alert to the ways that we can be making life choices that glorify Him. Thinking about the way that we are speaking, the way that we are acting, the way that we spend our time and our money. And so as we conclude today, do your words and your lives speak to non-Christians about God? They do. But do they show that He is the priority in your life? Does it give Him glory? Because God's vision for Christian life is that we glorify Him in all that we do. Our life as Christians should not be compartmentalized and hidden away on a Sunday, never to see the light of a Monday morning. I'm going to conclude with Peter's words. Verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So just before we move on, as I mentioned before, 2006, I went out to Malawi with St. John's. It was called the Stomp Team, St. John's Overseas Mission Team. And there is a similar experience that is going to be happening in November. And Maggie Gavitt has asked me to talk to you a little bit about what is going on. So can we have the, there we go. MIE are heading to Nepal. Well, a team are heading to Nepal. Going to be sending out a team. Next slide. Flying into Kathmandu and spending some time there. Spending some time with Joel and Fiona in their work, and possibly visiting some other organisations, maybe Open Doors and Leprosy Missions, but then moving to the United, I've forgotten what it's called, United Mission, thank you. They have a retreat each year in a place called Pokhara, and the team hopefully will be going to support those missionaries who are taking a time of retreat. And we'll be doing some, running a kids program, praying for people, organizing a lot of the logistics to give the missionaries there a chance to relax, to spend some time receiving from God. It's likely that there will be roughly 15 people heading out, but there is still time. If you would like to sign up, then please feel free to contact some people. These are some of the things that they're hoping to be working through. Short-term mission is an amazing opportunity to see what is going on in different places in the world, to be giving back to the people who have given so much of their lives, and also to be bringing those experiences back to the church. So those of you those of us who remain behind can get an idea of what is happening as well and how to support people better. Next one. These are the practical details. So we're looking at November time. The team members won't be expected to fund everything. There will be fundraising activities and the like. So don't let that hold you back. If you are interested, then these are the people to talk to. Maggie, Tony, Dorothy, Sam, Eleanor, Pam, and Jen. Okay. And if you would like to know more information quicker than that, then come along to the evening service tonight, where you will be able to hear a little bit more. There is people who are already signed up to this. So if anyone who is potentially in the team, can I ask you to stand up if you are happy to do so? Oh, one, two, three. Absolutely. Okay. Aaron stood up. So today, if you'd like to know any more about this, the apprentices are the place to go. But there are some other people. I won't say who they are at the moment because it's still some things to be worked through. Ways that we can be supporting people. Is that what comes next? Excellent. We can definitely be praying for this from now. Please be praying for this as the preparations are being put into place, as they are trying to work out what is going to be best, the logistics of how to work it out. But also very much when the team is over there, we need to be praying for them as well. There will be things coming up in the future about how we can be giving financially to be supporting this kind of activity. So be looking out for that, and also be praying from now about how God would like you to be supporting. To be encouraging people. When the team becomes known, be supporting those people. Knowing that people are there and supporting is so, so important. And also there will be, closer to the time, some help needed to be in, with some of the preparations. So again, be watching out for that kind of thing. And as I said, more this evening if you would like to find out more.